It's Charles Ames, KTAH-FM. I'm talking with Wade Neal, the Assistant Executive Director for Grand Cinema. He's going to tell us about the Tacoma Film Festival. Well, thanks for getting in touch with us, Wade.
Of course. Happy to do it.
All right. Go ahead and unreel your tale of the Tacoma Film Festival, the origins, and anything essential you think needs to be said.
I would be happy to tell you about the Tacoma Film Festival. It's been a long project that really has its roots in the mid-90s when the Grand Cinema first started. And it's, that started as a profit theater back in 95 and then 2 years later turned into a nonprofit. And there were always a lot of folks trying to start up something that, were playing independent films, international films, documentaries, things like that of major substance in Tacoma back then. But a lot of times they would just be sort of one-offs, wonderful one-offs here at the Rialto Theater or at different movie theaters around town. And, so then that kind of coalesced into the Grand Cinema being a center for, more artistic films and films from local filmmakers and things like that. And I do recall there was a film festival that somebody put on back in 97, 98 that sort of had baby steps towards, something bigger. And then, before I became involved with the Grand Cinema directly, in 2006, they started the Tacoma Film Festival. And it's just been an annual, extremely, heart-filled, small festival that's just kind of it just has grown to have a reputation of excellence and, warmth and welcome and gathering for filmmakers and film fans alike since then.
And, it occurs to me that just not every film festival says, all right, throw your films at us. Is there typically a theme? How does a Tacoma Film Festival select the films that it's going to festival?
Well, the Tacoma Film Festival selects its films in large part from submissions from all around the country and all around the world. And so there we create an entry portal, and we sort of put ourselves out there on the internet and we receive submissions from a lot of different places and we use a volunteer screening team as well as Grand Cinema Tacoma Film Festival staff to watch all the films and figure out which ones fit, the festival. Now, the festival itself doesn't have a particular theme other than it emphasizes independent voices. It emphasizes diverse voices. It emphasizes newer filmmakers that are kind of growing into their careers and their artistic development. And it also emphasizes the Pacific Northwest as well. So for instance, we have free submission entry fees for Pacific Northwest films. So we get quite a few of those. And so when I say Pacific Northwest, I mean Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Vancouver and BC. So we get some films from up there too. And then that creates a draw for the filmmakers to attend and share their works in person with the audience.
So there is some emphasis on underserved voices and visions that perhaps do not have a venue anywhere else.
I think that's right. I think we try to be the focal point for stories that might not be told elsewhere or might have trouble finding an audience because, in the age of the internet, you throw a video up on YouTube. Sure, you can make a film and throw it up on YouTube. You might have success, you might have failure, but you're not focused on it. There's so much out there. It's just like chaos. And when you bring these wonderful stories from underserved communities, from a variety of different directors or people who are starting out, new directors, things like that, new film crews, filmmakers, then you have an opportunity to really draw the attention to it and also show the film where it's supposed to be shown in a theater. I mean, watching a film on your phone just isn't the same. When you see a film with an audience, you know, even if it's a documentary, that's the magic window. There's no substitute for it.
Now let's get into the specifics of the substance. Let's talk about first of all, how many selections come at you? How many different people do you have screening it? And, what do you narrow it down to?
That's a great question. This year we had about 800 submissions. And so I can't remember if it was 200 or 400 hours at this point, but it's quite a few. And, we have a team of, volunteers and staff. I would guess it's about 10 people, including myself, go through all the films kind of as a first wave to, select the ones that might be the right fit. And then this year we actually, accepted quite a few submissions. So about 90% of our films this year are from submitted films, which we feel is important because people have put the effort into wanting to join our film festival. So, I think it came out to be about, I suppose it's about, 20% were accepted.
And, so let's talk about, before we get into, some of the selections themselves, can you tell us what awards they might be lined up for?
Yes, we have 14 awards that are selected by our jury and or audience. They are fairly, you know, the ones you would expect. We have best narrative or dramatic feature, best documentary feature, best dramatic or narrative short film, best documentary short film, and the like. And then there are the similar categories for the Pacific Northwest section of those as well. And we also have a late night short award, an experimental short film award, and several audience awards that are all selected by the audience voting for feature or short.
All right. Now let's get to the heart of the matter here. Let's talk about some of the selections that you've seen and if you've noticed if they have representing any kind of a contemporary cultural shift.
That's a good question. Contemporary cultural shift. I would say that we received a lot of submissions that really display a lot of energy and just a lot of desire to tell unique stories. And there's so much variety within the submissions that we received and also, of course, of the ones that we selected, that it's just astounding to me how much creativity is out there in our world. We have so many people working so hard to bring unique stories to the screen that it's just, I can't help but always be floored. I think that it's so easy to look around and feel that we're missing something in our culture and things are shifting too quickly and things like that. I think that we're kind of living in the golden age of creativity. You know, people have access to technology and access to film technology like they've never had before. And they're really using it in amazing ways and creating. These are the people who are creating the styles of film that you're going to see as commonplace within the next, you know, 5-10 years. It's so exciting to me to see, this like total earthquake of creativity that will develop into what we all come to accept as the norm, you know, later on. So I think the theme is just an explosion of creativity that we are almost like, it's like we're sort of, you know, we're goldfish and we're breathing the water. We don't understand that how much creativity is around, but it's just like, it's just astounding and exciting for us to be the conduit for it.
I wanted to point out what you were saying in terms of the accessibility of the technology and equipment. It's true when the festival started that those capabilities just did not exist. Not everybody had, say, for instance, a camera on their phone. Not that people are shooting, but, you know, could, and it no doubt gives an inspiration. So do you want to maybe talk about when the festival started 18 years ago, how is it different versus now?
The big difference between film festivals and the Tacoma Film Festival, specifically between, you know, 2006 and today, is definitely access to technology and the more ease of transfer of files and movies. So we have a lot more that we can take in and review, and then we also have a lot more that we can really play. And I think back in those days, people would even, you know, they would record on digital tape or, you know, VHS even sometimes. And so the quality would be a little bit lower and things like that. But like you said, you know, we have iPhones that are, can you imagine the capability of an iPhone versus, you know, 8mm film from, you know, the 20s or something like that, which we have a few. I think we have at least one 16mm film and maybe an 8mm film because they have their own particular flavor of beauty, I think, that I love to see as well. But yeah, that's a huge difference in just the amount of and ease of access too, because we used to have people have to ship every single film in. Now we pretty much can accept them through the internet with no loss in quality and things like that. So it's a little bit easier for us to manage the logistics aspect of it too.
All right. Let's get right to some of these selections. I imagine you probably don't want to place too much judgment on any one or a set, but can you maybe tell us about some of the selections that people can look forward to?
Yeah, the TFF selections, we're really proud of this year and very excited about. I'll just talk about our headliner events, so to speak. Our opening night film, Fantasy A Gets a Mattress, is a Seattle film, local filmmakers, local star. It's about a rapper who is on a quest to find a mattress, and it's just a hilarious, kind of has a, it's kind of a little bit of a dark comedy, but very funny. And it's a really exciting film, and it's been a really big hit in Seattle. And we're really excited to bring it to Tacoma because it's just like, I feel like it's one of those new generation films. That's just a blast. And that's our opening night film. You might see some mattresses with Fantasy A Gets a Mattress spray painted on it around town. That's part of their, some of that's been really spreading around, so that's super exciting. Our centerpiece film is a documentary called Immediate Family. And it tracks the careers of some of the most accomplished, incredible musicians in rock and pop music of the 20th century who are totally relatively unknown, although you might recognize some of them from just seeing them on stage with certain artists. But this group of four artists has backed some of the greatest singers and bands of all time, like Stevie Nicks, James Taylor, they've worked with members of the Eagles. And some of the music that they've written are Carole King and things like that. And some of the music that they have written, you know, everybody knows these songs. So, and the documentary is sort of a sequel in some ways to a movie that came out a few years ago called The Wrecking Crew, which is a similar story about artists who backed some of the greatest bands and musicians of the 60s, like the Beach Boys and the Byrds and just, similar, you know, Nancy Sinatra. Similarly, those artists were relatively unknown because they were behind the scenes, but they became famous through how talented they were and just the incredible musicianship they brought to some of the most, you know, beloved songs of that the world knows. You know, the maker of that film, Denny Tedesco, was Tommy Tedesco, one of those Wrecking Crew members' son, and he made a quest to kind of tell that story. Now he's telling the story of these four musicians whose careers sort of span from late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and they're still playing and on tour, and the director, unfortunately musicians can't be here, but the director is going to be here to talk about the film, and it's just a great documentary. It's one of those, just make, it is, you just you light up with all these aha moments when you're realizing that, you know, that these guys were the heart and soul, the beating heart of some of these great songs. You know, working with Linda Ronstadt. The list is just unbelievable. So I'm really excited about that one. We're going to have a DJ, Hunter Lee, who's a amazing archivist and Grammy nominee. He's going to bring some music to the Grand Cinema afterwards too. We even have a touring act coming through called Montopolis, who's going to play their original score to one of the first horror movies called L'Inferno, which was a silent film, which tracked Dante's descent into hell. Montopolis wrote their own score, and they're going to perform in front of that. But we're really excited about that special event. And then closing night is a feature called Fancy Dance, which is a fantastic new talent director named Erica Tremblay. And she has directed a wonderful film about a young Indigenous woman whose mother has gone missing. And so it touches on issues of Indigenous women being kidnapped and disappearing and sometimes being murdered. And so it's a very serious subject. But the film itself focuses on cultural strength and really has a note of hope in it as well. It's a really wonderful film. And that also co-stars Lily Gladstone, who is an incredible actor who, if you don't know that name now, you will, because she's starring in Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. And already there's buzz about possible Best Actress nominations for the Academy. So we're really excited to have that be our closing night film. And we also have quite a few shorts packages that have all kinds of terrific themes and sometimes just dramatic or documentary. But I think the short films are really the beating heart of the Tacoma Film Festival and really of any film festival, because those are the films that are detached from too much capital and too much investment so that the filmmaker can really stretch their talents in ways that the audience doesn't always see in a more commercial film. So we're really excited about that.
How do you package the short films, and how is that offset with all of the films in general? You've got four venues in Grand Cinema?
We do, the venues in the Grand Cinema are, we have four, but we mostly run the film festival in two of them. And so, but as far as packaging the short films, I guess it's a little bit more art than science. You know, there are obvious connections as far as dramatic or documentary and things like that. But sometimes, you know, we put them together in a certain theme. Like, we have an environmental climate package. We have a shorts package that centers on disability and all abilities. So there's a shorts package in connection with that. We even have a sports and outdoors package that those come together pretty easily. And then we come up with some sort of oblique threads that sometimes are just kind of fun to discover for the audience on their own. You know, those connections between the films can be a little bit nebulous, but then the way you put them together can also reveal something about the films. There can be a dialogue between the short films that you put in the same package. And so that's kind of the fun of it for us, is to create a pathway for the viewer that is somewhat surprising and kind of like revealing a little bit of a mystery.
Now tell us, you apparently have a workshop for the filmmakers that are going to appear. I suppose that's probably on their dime, otherwise that could get real involved. So the workshop, can you tell us about that and any other incentives that you're giving to the filmmakers?
Well, yes, filmmakers generally come because they want to be part of this community. It's really exciting because we hear from filmmakers. Over the years, we've built up this reputation as just being kind of like the small, special, I don't know, the liberal arts college of many film festivals. And, you know, we are so excited to hear from filmmakers that oh, I've heard that the Tacoma Film Festival is great, and I've met a cinematographer who I worked with at the film festival, you know. So a lot of the benefit is just getting the filmmakers out of their studios and their editing rooms and their projects and getting them together in the same place to have a really warm, welcoming environment where they can gather together and share notes. You know, it's one of those things where when you go to the conference, you don't expect it to be, you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to this conference, but then you can come away with lifelong friends. You can come away with it from your next creative partner. And that's really like what we see as the benefit of the way we run the Tacoma Film Festival, is we really create an atmosphere where people can exchange ideas about film and see what's out there and share their works with one another. And then the workshop itself is about breaking some of those barriers. You know, I think a lot of people who make films, they struggle making connections, because that's just hard for any industry, is making those connections in a natural way that builds up their networks of, I hate the word network, but like those groups of people, you know, that you can rely on and call, you know, to help you solve a problem. And that's what that workshop is all about. And we're really excited because we've got we've got Ryan Davis from Smart House Creative and Melinda Rabine, who's a filmmaker, who are going to talk about some of those ways that you can break through the barriers to make your indie film. So that's a benefit too. We've had, what I'm really excited about when we have those workshops is we've had filmmakers say, I'm really inspired. And then we'll hear later that they change their pitch and they won a big fellowship. And then now, you know, they're distributed by, their film's now distributed by a big distributor like A24 or something like that. And we're just really proud to be a little tiny part of that person's career and maybe change their pathway a little bit in a way that, helps them out.
Let's go from the broad to the specific. I understand that there's some superlatives that are applied to the Tacoma Film Festival. Well, give me a couple of those.
Yeah, we were really proud. You know, Movie Maker Magazine is a really great publication for filmmakers. And so we were really proud year after year to be chosen to be one of the film festivals worth the money, the entry fee, one of those categories. And then one year we actually were awarded one of the coolest film festivals in the world, which is a huge honor for us. We've also been named one of the best film festivals for new filmmakers. And so all of those little awards, or I shouldn't say little, those big awards for us, they mean everything to us. And we're really excited to keep that reputation up.
Wait, we talked about one of us doing a PSA for the Tacoma Film Festival. Why don't you go ahead in the last minute remaining, let's say, go ahead and give us a PSA about the film festival, the who, what, where, when, why.
Light, camera, action. Get ready for the Tacoma Film Festival from October 5th to October 12th. Passes and tickets are available at TacomaFilmFestival.com today.
Very nice, Wade. Any personal notes you have about the film festival? Why don't you, in a few seconds, tell us how Wade came into it and what has your overall experience been? And let's skip the emotional aspect of it. Maybe focus more on the part you're playing and how you feel about it in the overall spectrum of arts manufacture.
How did I get involved in the Tacoma Film Festival? Well, I was on the board of the Grand Cinema and a job popped up and I said, this is what I want to be a part of. And I've been with the Grand / Tacoma Film Festival for 8 years, and we've just worked as a team shaping it and growing it and changing it little by little to make it more accessible, to make it more creative, and to make it a wonderful place for filmmakers to gather and share their works. And it's just a thrill every year.
All right. This has been Wade Neal with Grand Cinema for the Tacoma Film Festival. And checking the notes here. Why don't you go ahead and let's see, how many nights of films now? This is going to be
There'll be eight nights of films.
Wow. All right, super. All right, and for more information,
go to TacomaFilmFestival.com.
Wade Neal, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
This is Charles Ames for KTAH-FM.